Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
René Descartes, episode 2. We're reading through the Stanford Encyclopedia and we're up to 1.3. So we've discussed his life so far and his movement, and this 1.3 is Metaphysical Turn, Comprehensive Physics, The Discourse. So we're up to the point that he's lived quite an interesting life so far as a soldier, has moved and is now living in a highly intellectual way in the Netherlands. Upon arriving in the Netherlands, Descartes undertook his work on two sorts of topics. In summer 1629, an impressive set of parhelia, or false suns, were observed near Rome. Oh, what the heck is a parhelia? And Descartes heard of them, he set to find out an explanation. He ultimately hypothesized a large solid ice ring in the sky acts as a lens to form multiple images of the sun. Wow, what is that going on? False suns, wow. This work has interrupted his investigations on other topic, which had engaged him in his first 9 months in the Netherlands. The topics of metaphysics, that is, the theory of the first principles of everything that there is. The metaphysical objects of his investigation included the existence and nature of God and the soul. However, the metaphysical investigations were not entirely divorced from the problems such as parhelia. I've got to work out what that is. He claimed that through investigations into God and himself, he had been able to discover the foundations of physics. Subsequently, Descartes mentioned a little metaphysical treatise in Latin, presumably an early version of Meditations, which he had wrote upon first coming to the Netherlands. And we know that Descartes later confided to Mersenne that Meditations contained all the principles of my physics. That's an interesting story. So what is parhelion? Parhelia, I've got to work out what that is. Multiple suns? It could be... could be my scattering. That would be fantastic if it was working out. This is a big discovery here. You don't get this out of Wikipedia. The parahelion probably will. I'm probably going to Wikipedia, and the first thing they talk about is parahelion. While working on parahelia, Descartes conceived the idea for a very ambitious treatise. He wrote to Mersenne that he decided not to explain just one phenomenon, the parahelia, but rather compose a treatise in which he explained all phenomena of nature, that is to say, the whole physics. The work eventually became The World, which was to have had three parts: a light, a general treatise on visible or material nature, on man, a treatise on physiology, and the soul. Only the first two survived, perhaps they were only ever written, the treatise on light and the treatise on man. In other works, which Descartes decided to suppress upon learning the condemnation of Galileo, you can imagine him, had offered a comprehensive vision of the universe that constituted a bare form of matter, having only length, breadth, and depth, a three-dimensional volume, and carved up into particles the size and shape which had to be the motion or rest, which interact through the laws of motion enforced by God. And so this is amazing that Descartes came up with three laws of motion, and that's why Newton came up with three laws of motion. And Descartes was pretty revolutionary. He obviously got a bit tricked by angular momentum, which Newton just forgot about. These works contain a description of the visible universe as a single physical system which had all its operations from the formation of plants to the emission of light from the sun to the physiological principle of human and non-human animal bodies can be explained through the mechanism of matter arranged into shapes and structures and moving according to the laws of motion. His laws of motion. And this is really coming up with modern science, because before it was just no one had a concept of it. In fact, his explanation of the world and subsequent principles made little use of the three laws of motion in other than a quantitative manner. The laws sustained the notion that matter moves regularly in straight lines and upon impacts bits of matter and their motions in a regular way, something that happens constantly in the full universe, the plenum conceived by Descartes. So Descartes' three laws are very, very close to Newton's three laws, and so but Newton wins the day. After suppressing his will, Descartes decided to put forward anonymously a limited sample of his new philosophy in the discourse which attracted attached essays. The discourse recounted Descartes' own life journey, explaining how he had come to the position of doubting his previous knowledge and seeking to begin afresh. It offered some initial results of his metaphysical investigations, including mind-body dualism. It's not, however, engaged in the deep skepticism of the later meditations, nor did it claim to establish metaphysically that the essence of matter is extension. This last conclusion was presented merely as a hypothesis whose fruitfulness could be tested and proven by ways of results as contained in the attached essays of Dioptrics and Metrology. The last subject area comprised of atmospheric phenomena. In his Metrology, Descartes described the general hypothesis about the nature of matter before continuing on to write accounts of vapors, salts, winds, clouds, snow, rain, lightning, and rainbow coronas and parahelia. Whatever is parahelia? It's going to really wreck my brain. I'm going straight to the internet to find out what parahelia is. My godfather, I'm living all this time and not knowing this. Descartes wrote in Metrology that he was working from the following supposition or proposition or hypothesis, that water, earth, air, and all other such bodies are surrounded, are comprised of many small parts of various shapes and sizes, which are never so properly disposed nor exactly joined together that there cannot remain many intervals around them, and that these intervals are not empty but are filled with extremely subtle matter through the mediation of which I have said above, the action of the light is communicated. Well, so this is the vortex stuff, but it's very close on quantum mechanics. He presented his corpuscular basis of his physics, which denied the atoms and void theory of ancient atomism and affirmed that all bodies are composed of one type of matter, which is infinitely divisible. Oh dear, that's a bit sad. In the world, he presented a non-atomistic corpuscularism without denying the void space outright, without affirming the infinite divisibility. Okay, that's interesting. So he's sort of like hit his thought golf ball way off. He's sliced it. In Metrology, he also proclaimed that his natural philosophy had no need for substantial forms or real quantities that other philosophers imagined to be in bodies. He had taken the same position in the world where he said, in conceiving of his new world, exception of universe, I do not use the qualities called heat, cold, moisture, and dryness as philosophers do. Indeed, Descartes claimed that he could explain the qualities himself through the matter in motion. Claim repeated in Metrology. In effect, he was denying the then dominant scholastic Aristotelian ontology, which explained all natural bodies as comprised of prime matter informed by a substantial form. Which explained quantities such as hot, cold, as really inhering the bodies in a way that is similar to the quantities of hot and cold as we experience them tactually. Unlike Descartes' purely extended matter, which can exist on its own, having only size and shape, many scholastic Aristotelians held that prime matter cannot exist on its own. To form a substance or something that can exist by itself, prime matter must be informed by substantial form, a form that renders something into substance. Wow, this is the theory of the form has gone feral. My God. Godfather, who would have thought? So, Aristotle, Plato had the theory of the forms, Aristotle did something else, and people have gone to a third level, that the form has to come in to make substances there. This is crazy stuff. The four Aristotelian elements, earth, air, fire, water, and ether, if you want to actually, had substantial forms that combined the basic quantities of hot, cold, wet, and dry. Earth is cold and dry, air is hot and wet, fire is hot and dry, water is cold and wet. Oh, there you go. These elements themselves, oh, that's interesting. These elements themselves can serve as matter to higher substantial forms, such as the form of a mineral, a magnet, or a living thing. whether in the case of the earth or a living rabbit, the form of a thing directs the characteristic of the activity. Yeah, you can see you get Aristotle's luck of this mind virus. For this reason, Aristotle in his Aprive, the planet Earth was formed at the center with the water on the surface. A new rabbit is formed when a male rabbit contributes through his seed matter the form of rabbithood and the seed matter to the seed matter of the female rabbit. This is homunculum. They really didn't get sperm and egg. Ah, dear. The form then organizes the matter into the shape of rabbit, including organizing and directing the activity of various organs and physiological processes. The newborn rabbit's behavior is then guided by rabbit-specific sensitive soul, which is the name of the substantial form of rabbit. Other properties of the rabbit, such as the whiteness of its fur, are explained by the real quality of the rabbit inheriting each strand of hair. Well, there you go. That's H-I-A-I-R rather than H-I-R-A-R-E. So, I think this is what the Aristotelians believe. So, I don't think Descartes got something else. You can see how mind-bending this all would be. Although the world and metrology Descartes avoided outright denial of substantial forms and real quantities, it is clear that he intended to deny them. The two considerations explain his tentative language. First, when he wrote these works, he was not yet prepared to release his metaphysics, which would support his hypothesis about matter, and so rule out substantial forms. The second, he was sensitive to the prudential value of not directly attacking the scholastic Aristotelian position, since it was accepted position in university education and was strongly supported by Orthodox theologians, Catholics and Protestants. The theory of the form still alive. There's something very similar about classical particles and quantum physics going at the moment. So schools teach classical particles and everyone else buys iPhones and launches satellites based on quantum physics. After the publication of the Discourse in 1637, Descartes received his correspondence queries and challenges to various doctrines, including his accounts of the sequence of phenomena during heartbeat and the circulation of blood, his avoidance of substantial forms and real quantities. That's something I really have to get my mind around. Substantial forms and real quantities. His arguments for the distinction between mind and body, and his view that the natural philosophy hypothesis could be proven through the effects that they explain. Wow, that's what we call science, friends. Descartes' correspondence form a second half of his 1930s replays close study. Among other things, his discussions on hypothesis confirmation in science. His replies to objections concerning his metaphysics, his explanations that he left most radical skeptical arguments out of his work, since it's written in French for a wide audience. In 1637, Descartes fathered a daughter named Franchine. His mother was Descartes' housekeeper, Helena Jans. They lived with Descartes as part of the time of the late 1930s. Descartes was arranging for them to join him when he learned of Francine's untimely death. In September 1640, at age 5, Descartes scholarly contributed a diary for Helena's marriage in 1644. Oh, okay, so she had a child with the housekeeper, and then he put a diary for the latter marriage. Okay. 1.5, the metaphysics and comprehensive physics revealed. In a letter on 13th of November 1639, Descartes wrote to Mersenne that he was, quote, working on a discourse in which I try to clarify what I hitherto have written, unquote, on metaphysics. This was the Meditations, and presumably he was revising for recasting the Latin treatise in 1629. He announced to Mersenne a plan to put the work before 20 or 30 of the most learned theologians before it was published. That's interesting. In the end, he and Mersenne collected 7 sets of objections to the Meditations, which Descartes published with the work, along with his replies. Whoa, man, I love him. Some objections were from the priest Jean Craterus, One set was from the Jesuit philosopher Pierre Bourdon, others from the Mersenne himself, from philosophers Pierre Gassé and Thomas Hobbes, and Catholic philosopher theologian Arnold. This is sort of like peer review. I really sort of like it. This is before peer review. This is getting in quickly. As previously mentioned, Descartes considered the meditations to contain the principles of his physics, but there is no meditation labelled principles of physics. The principles in question, which spread throughout the work, concern the nature of matter, the essence of extension, and the activity of God in creating and conserving the world, and the nature of the mind, that is, unextended thinking, substance, mind-body union, and interaction with ontology of senses, sensory qualities. Descartes and its followers included topics concerning the nature of the mind and mind-body interaction within the physics or natural philosophy on which. Once Descartes had presented his metaphysics, he felt free to proceed with the publication of his entire physics. However, he needed first to teach it to speak Latin, the lingua franca of the 17th century. He hatched a scheme to publish a Latin version of his physics, the principles, together with a scholastic Aristotelian work on physics, so that a comparative advantage would be manifest. For this purpose, he chose the Summa Philosopher of Eustace of St. Paul. That part of his plan never came to fruition. His intent remained the same. He wished to produce a book that could be adopted in schools, even Jesuit schools such as La Friche. Ultimately, his physics was taught in the Netherlands, France, England, and parts of Germany. For the Catholic lands, the teaching of his philosophy was dampened when his works were placed in the Index of Prohibited Books in 1663. Although his followers in France, such as Jacques Rohan and Pierre Rigus, continued to promote Descartes' natural philosopher. That's interesting. That's Inquisition still going on. The principles appeared in Latin in 1644, with a French translation following in 1647. Descartes added to the French translation an author's letter to serve as a preface. In the letter, he explained important elements of his attitude towards philosophy, including the view that in matters philosophical, one must reason through the arguments and elevate them for oneself. He also presented an image of relations among the various parts of philosophy in the form of a tree. And this is a quotation section, quoting for the book. Thus, the whole philosophy is like a tree. The roots are metaphysics, the trunk is physics, and the branches emerging from the trunks are all the other sciences, in which may be reduced to three principal ones, namely medicine, mechanics, and morals. By morals, I understand the highest and most perfect moral system, which presupposes a complete knowledge of the other sciences in the ultimate levels of wisdom. End quote. It's interesting that he's got three sections here, and I just wonder, just off the top of my head, how this goes to Bloom's taxonomy, which is cognitive, psychomatter, motor, and affective. Morals will be affective. Psychomotor would be medicine, and mechanics would be the cognitive. I think that's quite interesting. Okay. The extant principle of metaphysics in part one, the general principles of physics and the form of matter theory and the laws of motion are presented in part two. Following from metaphysics, part three concerns astronomical phenomena, part four concerns the formation of the earth and seeks to explain the properties of minerals, metals, magnets, fire, and the like, to which are appended discussions of how the senses operate, and finally a discussion of the methodological issues in natural philosophy. His intent had been also to explain the depth and origin of plants and animals, human psychology, mind-body union, interaction, and the function of senses. In the end, he had to abandon the discussion of plants and animals, but included some discussion of the mind-body union in his abbreviated account of the senses. Thus ends episode 2. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly
amazing things. Understand them and tell others. Thanks for listening.